Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Phil and Bill Show. Phil tells me while I've been gone, 3 people checked on me. I appreciate that. Truth of the matter is, I had a death in the family, and that takes a lot out of you. We have the cemetery, we have the churches, the flock, on and on and on and on, and going through wills and everything in there. Took a lot more out of me than I thought it was. However, Philly, I'm back, you're back, everything is good, huh?
Everything's good.
3 people checked on me?
Yeah.
Only 3 people out there checked on me. All right, all right. What'd you do last weekend?
Me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. What'd you do last weekend?
Oh, we took pictures at the shop.
Well, what'd you think of the shot? We're going to do, Phil and I are going to do another program, but once a month we're thinking about doing a photo shoot out of the shop. We got some professional photographers. We certainly got enough models to cover all that. So we thought to make our life interesting, we should maybe once a month do some photo shooting. And maybe you could put that up on the...
Yeah.
Okay, good. You got some shots maybe for the next show or the show after that maybe?
I got some.
All right, I like that. I want you people, I'll give you a hint. Look for the girl's right hand. Right, say nothing else, look for her right hand. A little reality check there. So I know you had to work on all that, but that time you went up the Vietnam vet run over the weekend while you were working.
Yep.
We had a run up in the mountains here, a 3-day rally up at the Pala Indian Reservation. That means we're on sovereign Indian land. Unless the police are chasing you onto the land, once you're on it, where just about anything goes. And a good get-together, I saw a lot of brothers, a lot of guys come in from Arizona. By the way, Screwdriver and I want to say to all you, to all of our friends in Arizona that are having troubles right now, we hope this comes to an end soon. So if you know what I'm talking about, that's good. So we had a lot of guys come in from out of state. It was a good party. I know you had to work. Sorry about that. About midnight, we had this wet T-shirt contest that was simply off the charts. So that's pretty interesting with that. Went downtown 2 weeks ago, downtown Oceanside.
Yeah.
You were with me. We stopped by our favorite little bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed out to me across the street they were filming us from this van, was it?
The van, the car, and the guy on the roof.
Yeah. Honest to God, I never in my life, I didn't lock my bike up. I figured, how safe could I be?
Exactly.
Everywhere I looked. And then I found there was a liquor store. There's another one down there I saw. Unbelievable.
Every corner.
Yeah.
They weren't there. They weren't really there until we showed up.
I don't know about the rest of you people and the rest of the world here, but Phil and I are Americans. We're driving on an American highway. We happen to be driving American motorcycles, but in this case, this is incidental. We have our rights. We haven't done anything wrong. We stopped at a bar. And, the one van photographing us, 3 police cars, one guy on the roof. You know, this is not reality. The taxpayers of Oceanside at some point got to realize this is a waste of time. When we're harassing these people coming into Oceanside, it's liquor stores not making the money. The grocery stores not making the money. The restaurants not making the money. Screwdriver and I do not get tickets. We're not thrown in jail, and yet... we can't even go to the bar.
Don't say get tickets because I got a ticket.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. But we're not committing. The ticket you got is a, what's the word I want? Oh, yeah, bullshit ticket.
There you go.
What gives the government the right, if we're not committing any crime, to be giving us all this surveillance and all that? I keep thinking it's something out of the Twilight Zone or, the future is with us now. I'm thinking next time they're going to give us some chips in our neck or something like that to follow us.
Yeah.
I wonder if the other people in other states have any of these problems. We're hoping anybody listening wants to check in with us. Tell us what's going on in your town. Remember, Screwdriver and I can only learn what's going on in your town today. We need to know the information so we know how it's going to affect us in our town tomorrow. I think I said that backwards, but yeah, you get the point there.
Right.
You know?
Like right here, I got this today from Art.
Art?
Yeah. He's on the hook. Let me bring him in. Hello, Art.
Yeah, what's going on, Phil?
How you doing?
Man, we're working hard, buddy. Just trying to get through the day like you, you know?
Yeah, good to hear you back, man. Good to hear you back. I lost you.
Art, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
It's Big Brother, Art. We didn't do nothing wrong. It's Big Brother, I'm trying to tell you.
I figured as much.
Anyway, thank you for the compliment. I said, you must be one of the three people that checked on me. Screwdriver said, that's all, so nobody else loves me. We're talking about, again, problems we're having out here and how Phil and I just don't want to...
He's in power.
Well, that's close enough. You know, he's not around local here, though, you know. What's happening up there in Poway with the local sheriffs and all that? You getting okay up there? Is it getting a little heat or what?
No, actually, it's been pretty quiet. It kind of surprises me.
That's because they're plotting.
Yeah, no doubt. The thing that surprised me this week was that email we got from Mark. And it had the one about recording in a courtroom.
Right.
Because I didn't know that was legal. Or that was, so it's really kind of neat to have the option to just contact the judge, you know, just prior to going in, you know, like within a half an hour or so, and be able to set your recorder up and record. That's kind of a neat thing to be able to do.
Right, but here's the thing. They're not going to let you do it because they want the $30 to get it for a CD.
Well, maybe.
My understanding is if you got credentials, press credentials. No
problem. Ah. Okay, I'll have to read that closer then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send me the other one about recording on the traffic stop, too. All you got to do is tell them you're doing it. They can't refuse.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I got that email.
As our friend found out.
Ah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I got that email today about the cops going in and wanting to take all the weapons out of a guy's house, and they were supposed to be searching for one.
Right.
And the court struck it down, said, no, you can't do that. There's Fourth Amendment rights involved. It's kind of nice to hear the court sticking up for us for a change.
Absolutely.
I think the courts are starting to pay attention because enough of us, the little people, as I call us, enough of us little people are starting to stand up and saying, we are demanding our rights as American citizens. I think the courts are finally saying we cannot ignore these people if they keep standing up for themselves.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You have to stand up and demand it. It's yours. You have a right to it.
Because we've been out here running up and down the streets and all that, he and I have never asked for special privileges. But we've always said that these are certain rights guaranteed to us, and we are going to fight to make sure we get our rights installed. I'm not anti-police. A lot of people don't understand that. I am absolutely not anti-police. I am against people that are doing me wrong, trying to take those things against me. If it's a police officer, a fire department, if it's going to be a postal guy, I don't care. Whatever it is, you have to stand up for it. We don't have to be afraid of the police department. These are people we pay to do a job. We're an American citizen, an American country. We're on American streets. They're stopping us. Okay, why should we be afraid if we're Americans? We allow them that fear, and they use that fear against us for intimidation. If people would study their rights, study how to do a correct traffic stop, you shouldn't be afraid of the police. And I keep telling this over and over and over.
For all those naysayers, though, what does that say?
Evidence. Oceanside. PD.
Okay.
That's a little thing in the guy signed it? Yeah.
That's the guy signed it. This is the original copy. They don't have a copy now. They fucked up. Sent me the original.
I was now in San Diego at a party, and I'm always going out to speak to any motorcycle club or organization at once, and I talk about how to do correct traffic stops. I give the basic information, and I've been doing it for some time. I was down at the New York Mike's place down in San Diego. A CHP and a sheriff came up to me in uniform and said, are you the guy doing the giving the traffic stop information? I said, yeah, I am. They said, well, you're doing a good thing. We appreciate that. Because when we stop, we don't know if this biker's an axe murderer. We don't know what he is. But if he stops, he follows a routine that we're comfortable with, that we feel more comfortable. I thought they were going to start breaking my balls about I'm telling people how to get our tickets. I'm not. I'm telling you what to do about a correct traffic stop. But the cops actually came up to me and said, we appreciate what you're doing. Most people don't know how to act to a traffic stop. And what happens is they overreact. Then the cop overreacts and the whole thing goes downhill, you know?
Yep, it can get there quick.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
Yeah. Well, the reason they stopped you, Phil, is they wanted some money back.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the reason they stopped Phil, and I'm going to tell you, you met Phil in person. He has long, dark hair down on his back. And if you know me, I've got long gray hair. So I pull my helmet off. The gray hair goes off. They go, oh, look at this nice man. And they look at Phil and they go, what a thuggy. And that's what happens, Phil. It's your own karma coming back against you, you know?
Sure. Love. All that love. But hold on a second, Art.
Sure thing.
Hello there. Betsy?
Yep.
Betsy, that's you, darling.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Oh, we're doing much better. I'm back on target. I got all my ducks lined up again. We're all getting back. It took a lot out of me to handle all the family business and all that. For people who don't know, my father passed away when I was 17. My family and I had to raise ourselves. And when a death comes up, boy, there's a lot of things you kind of, even though I'm 60 years old, you can't expect the parents to deal with.
Right.
My brothers and I have always had to deal with it, and it's so much bullshit. If I had my way, I'd put some of those people in cemetery in the ground. They were just sucking me dry on everything. No concern. Even at the, we were burying my sister. They came up to me and said, can we show you a plot over here that's available? I said, I will put you in the ground if you don't get out of here. While I'm having the service, and their theory was, they said, well, in case you want another plot next to your sister. Trying to hustle me in a service?
Oh, how sad and insensitive.
And I don't know why, because I don't look the insensitive type. So what is new about you? Do you wish to share a little bit about your great accomplishment? Do you want to tease us a little bit and tell us what happened in Sturgis?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, come on, please. I didn't get to hear much about it. Tell us what happened, please.
Oh, well, basically, it was just I was inducted into the Motorcycle Museum Sturgis.
Hold on, I love that.
Thing.
Oh, just basically, I was inducted into. You act so humble. Come on, girl. That's something to be proud of. Inducted to the Hall of Fame at Sturgis because of work you did? Come on. Speak a little more proud about that.
Okay. Well, you know, it's still kind of all surreal. I'm not used to the hullabaloo and the people asking for my autograph and that sort of thing, and it's still kind of surreal and foreign, you know. And then I come home and I still feel like me. I don't feel any different, so it's you know, it was nice to be recognized, though.
What was the happiness or most proudest moment you were out there? What really just tripped your trigger? What just caught you saying, I'm glad I'm here, for what reason?
Well, at the breakfast, there were several things that I had the pleasure of sitting up on the podium next to Pan. And on the opposite side of him was Nancy and Willie G. Davidson. And what thrilled me the most was being in that company with those other people and hearing what they have done. You know, I felt that part of what I did paled to what some of them have done. So,
humble. And, you should be proud. You should be screaming at the top of your lungs what you've done. You have told a lot of other people out there, go out and make changes. That's what you've done. And now you're acting so quiet and shy. That's bullshit.
Well, no, you know, I got to tell you, this has been a bad week for me. I just came home. I was supposed to go to bike night tonight. I didn't go. I had a wake. All right. And then a dear friend of mine committed suicide, and I've got a funeral on Sunday. So you caught me betwixt and between. It's kind of hard for me to focus on me and what I've done when I'm dealing with all that other stuff. So, and I think you can identify with that. So basically, my head is not wrapped around that right at this minute, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Well, I know you're not going to say nana, 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 but you know what? There's a lot of people and a lot of biker organizations that have been petty. And these biker organizations, if they ever would come together, we could stand up as a united force. And yet every time one organization is petty with the other organization,
exactly.
You are an example of a person doing something and getting something accomplished. I'm going to be polite tonight because it's the first time I've been on in a long time. I'm not going to call any of the biker organization rights by name, but damn it, you people know who you are. Work together. Marine Corps emblem, gung ho. Doesn't mean kiss ass Marine. It means it's a Chinese saying from World War II. Work together. If ever we could come together, Betsy, if ever we could come together, we would be awesome.
Oh, do you know how forceful and how strong we would be? The unification would be like surpassed by nothing.
And I don't want to just say Harley-Davidson. I'm talking all motorcycle riders. It's right there at our fingertips. And yet we just can't grasp it because some of the leaders of our political organizations are so hung up with their own rights and ego and power.
Right.
Now, I've always been told, if you're not happy about something, go out and join the organization, run it. I'm not going to badmouth any one organization, but those leaders which are petty, those leaders that need their own attaboy, pay attention to what this one lady did out there. If we come together, we would be awesome. Not just America, around the world, and yet we can't just get that one last hurdle over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think you said it fantastically. I couldn't have said it better.
I didn't tell Bill what you told me about that group that's giving you a hard time.
Oh, well.
Yeah, we don't have to say who it is, but.
Yeah, no, it's so ridiculous. I mean, I really don't want to get into it now on the air, but I would love to talk to him at another time about it.
Yeah, I can arrange that for you.
Yeah? Well, I know you can. I can arrange it, too.
Okay. I'm just trying to help you out there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did she join a nudist colony, she said?
Yeah.
And somebody's giving her a hard time? What?
Yeah.
Did I miss that? Well, we'll talk about that later. Obviously, I missed that altogether.
Let me stand in line for a second. Charlie.
Yo, how's it going, man?
Good. Hey, while I got all four of you here, where you can hear me and we can talk, I told Bill that I was going to do that thing from the bar.
Yep.
And, Charlie said, Betsy said, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't asked. Okay,
we're going to debate this.
I'm against this completely, and I got to tell you why. Downtown Oceanside is a lot of drama going on. We have a large motorcycle organization that wants to come in right now and start a chapter. In California, if Motorcycle Club A has a chapter, Motorcycle Club B is going to play playing chess. They're going to be opposite each other. We have got real drama, and if we come in, we will escalate that point. We'll make the police go right through the. We'll go crazy. will make the other motorcycle club want to escalate also.
Oh.
If it's just the idea of us confronting the police, it's one thing. But you know, Phil, a lot of you guys don't know, there is a lot of drama on the background, and I don't want to get into two motorcycle clubs, but if you know California politics, you know what I'm talking about. It will only make everything intense. We are not. I am in a very, very, very small way attempting to see if the bridge of communication can be established. At some point in time, we cannot continue this lifestyle. So the work that I've done in a very, very small way and the work that other people are doing, I think all that would be destroyed if this came to be. I can't tell you all the things going on, but we're trying to see if we can develop that bridge of communication, and I think that would just put us all a step back. Not the city of Oceanside, not the police department, not Phil and I, but the two large organizations trying to find some common ground.
So you're going to try and be a mediator?
Honey, I've been mediator for 20, 30 years with every motorcycle club in California. I go to see if I can stop the large club from beating on the little club.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about like 50 members of one, 500 another one. Just recently they asked me, Bill, if you can solve this, this is good. If not, tell the other club, we'll be knocking on their doors and knocking on their heads. There comes a time when you are so set in what you're seeing and the other organization is so set in what they're seeing, they refuse to acknowledge the other side's view.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's nice to bring an old guy in and let me look at both sides. Let me see if some latitude. Let me find some way we can communicate. And I've been doing that in 20 years, and there's only a handful of people who know that. But right now in California, it's kind of we're close to, you know, maybe trying to find some peace or go full on explosiveness. And this point downtown, it's the big ramification, the big picture. I don't want to share anything with you because we're still working it out. So that's why I'm saying no.
Yeah,
he's saying yes. There's no right or wrong answer.
There's no right or wrong answer. But the other thing is, too, they have you and I down on paper as the ringleaders.
Yeah.
You're the president, and I'm the vice president.
Yeah.
And all these other guys are underlings.
The Bikers Task Force in California, depending where you are, I'm an associate member or a national officer of so many motorcycle clubs. It's hilarious. 2 years ago, I was an executive office at the same time in California's two largest motorcycle clubs. And I'm thinking, how can you people have so much stupid information? But I'm seeing in places where conversations are going on. So I don't really care how they, you know, butcher my character or how they wish to put me in a label.
Either one.
If I think I can do something good, and I've done an awful lot in my life, but I've been waiting to do something on a grand scale. My whole life I've been wanting to do something grand scale. If we can bring this peace, short term maybe, if I can do that, that would make me awful happy. I am 62 years old. I have been through so many wars. I sometimes go to funerals every month.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's got to stop. And, you know, maybe it's old guys got to be the one to step and do it because young guys got their chest all puffed up. And all they're going to do is it's going to get worse and worse. I do not represent or do not speak for any organization in California. If two organizations ask me to look at the issue, I do so. But I have to clearly understand, everybody listen to me, I do not belong to any organization.
Neither do I.
I don't. And, in fact, I would like to emphasize again what our great statesman Benjamin Franklin said. When asked to join a very prestigious organization, he said, I do not wish to join any organization that would allow somebody like me in it. That's kept me on my narrow the whole way. I have nothing against motorcycle clubs. You know me in California. I'm with every club. Every weekend I'm going to run. But we got to find some peace. You heard me earlier make a comment to our friends in Arizona. I hope those people can work it out. They're having problems over there.
Right.
If you don't know what the problem is, it doesn't matter what's the problem. We have problems in every state. We have problems whenever we have communication because people don't always understand the meaning of the words. So I'm telling Screwdriver, initially this meeting downtown is good, but there's so many other things going on that I'm concerned it's going to affect them overall. So we're kind of kicking this back and forth, guys. But listen, any comments anybody's got to say on that, please?
Is it just me or does Bill's microphone break up once in a while?
No, that's Big Brother.
Okay, okay. Good enough. No, Bill, I'm...
It's just me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, Bill, you know I'm associated with the MMA, and I do the same thing. I believe that in order to be able to interact with any club, you can't really affiliate with anyone. You have to show the same respect to every club no matter what. And I'm trying to get a hold of now. There's actually like a second COC in downtown, and it's mostly street riders. It's the sport bikes. And I'm trying to talk to those guys and get them more affiliated and into the motorcycle right side of it, because they're even worse than a lot of the old Harley riders in the fact that they don't want to be involved. But, you know, like
that's
you say, until we all join together.
Right. There's going to be problems.
Yeah. So there's safety in numbers, and let's get our numbers together and take care of this stuff.
I can respect the fact that the sport riders take pride in what they have and they want to hang together and all that. That's one issue. The comment you made about our equal rights and concerns and problems, they have to be aware of this because they're facing the same problems I am. They're going down the road, they're getting pulled over.
And they're the younger generation. You know, if we're gone, they're going to need to pick it up.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm...
Are you planning on going somewhere?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, all of us are getting up there.
Oh,
you know,
right.
We need young blood.
I got young blood.
Yeah,
we're not talking
about young blood.
We're not talking about your girlfriend, okay?
Lots of love, brother. Lots of love.
Oh, you're funny.
Hey. Charlie.
Yo.
Hey, man. You heard what you said, right?
Yeah, I did.
What do you think?
I think that first and foremost, you guys are here to defend biker rights and to bridge that gap from that reason alone. And so whatever it takes to make that happen is the key. And so... trust in Bill's wisdom because I'm not there. You know, I would like to see this happen. I would like to see this taken publicly in a public forum like that because, you know, as you know, the one or two times that I was able to pull that off here just out of the Nashville scenario, people do react, but, of course, people react differently when you're talking about the politics of the clubs to clubs that may have some political stuff going on in that circuit. So I trust Bill with that, but... I certainly hope that the biker rights side of it takes precedent and takes hold, and that is what it's all about anyway, and that's what I'm hoping for. So I hope eventually that this can be put together and bridge that gap. And because without that, without bridging the gap, without using the biker rights side, not using it, but, you know, presenting it and getting everybody involved, we're all going to go down, no matter whether you're what member of any club you are or not. Whatever your affiliation, we're all going to go down.
Yeah, well, see, the big thing is me doing it down there. That's where Bill's going. They got a hard on for me.
You gotta take it to a level of just, you know, turn it from whatever they think it is to just make sure it comes off as an entertainer, as an entertainment situation. Get something like that involved where it's like, hey, you know what, this is biker rights, and we also have this, and you kind of break the segment out. To where it's hard for anyone to combat it as saying, oh, this is all about you and all about what you're trying to do and be against, not so much against it, but be fighting for your rights that is pissing off a lot of people, and say, hey, you know, it's all about exposure to the word of stuff, you know. I mean,
Charlie, it doesn't matter what umbrella we're under. It's the people involved.
Personalities.
Right, yep.
Charlie, if I can wrap you up a second there. A couple weeks back, was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they all blend in after a while. We had a party at my shop. 400 people were down there. I shut the whole street off. I contacted the bus station people and had them reroute the city buses. I contacted the fire department and asked them to leave the street open so they didn't come down. However, in case of emergency, I left an emergency fire lane down the middle. We had 400 people there. We had representatives of almost every club, except for the Bad Boys, who really can't sit down right now. I had the mayor of Oceanside down there for 2 hours, and he said he had never seen this many motorcycles. He'd never seen this many club people ever at one time. And I said, Mr. Mayor, what you tell me is what you see. Can I ask you now, what is you don't see? He looked around, he said, well, I don't know. I said, how many police are here? He said, well, there's no police. We had the party for 6 hours. Not a single cop came by because we are taking care of ourselves. When the police arrive at a scene, that seems to initiate trouble. Now, if they have to respond to trouble, that's problem A. If they come to a scene where there's no problem and they're causing the problem, that's another issue.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to many of the club people there, and they're all mad about, you know, all the problems and all that. And I said, yes, but look at when you learn to work within the system. I reroute the city buses. I reroute the fire department. I reroute all this here. I had the mayor come down. I am constantly trying to make the mayor and the city people realize that if you don't get on board, it's the business people that are going to lose the money. Now, Screwdriver is the head of the organizations, and he's out there, God bless him, he's out there waging war. I'm on the other side of the coin. I'm doing it a different way. But this is just how we're doing it. Everybody out there, whatever way you want to do it, just do it. Do something to make your community better. I don't want to get on my high horse and keep bugging everybody, but Philip and I, we don't have to do with law. We're not lawyers. We're not paralegals. We're two guys that are saying we're going to work it out. Sometimes his ideas are better than mine.
Sometimes yours are
not often, though. But yeah. No, I'm sorry.
You know, I think, and I appreciate all that, Bill, and that's an awesome thing that you did, and I exactly agree with exactly everything you said and everything that happened with your event, and that's the exact way you have to approach and go forward with it because, you know, in this day and age right now, everything is so divided. I think communication, the Internet,
right.
Everything has everybody watching so much. They're watching every move that everybody's making around the world, let alone city by city. And that's what you have to do in every organization, whether it's motorcyclist or if it's a political organization of any kind is falling under the same type of scrutiny. And the entire problem is no one, everybody has a voice now. I think communication has opened up the train of expanding everyone's voice to the point that now instead of having, you know, these group of people that you always hear about because they were the loudest, now everybody's got an opportunity to shout and scream. And it makes it a big, difficult issue for everybody to round up. In the motorcycle world, there's no doubt that, you know, we've been getting killed, and it's back to the rights issue of just saying, hey, man, back off on the stuff. Like you said, the intimidation is what causes 95% of every bit of those problems. And that intimidation comes with we have to show up at, you know, recently at a funeral in New York for a motorcycle club. We have to show up there, the law does, and they have to photograph everybody and film the situation from rooftops, you know, with SWAT teams when it's a freaking funeral. You know, and I'm sure y'all are aware of that, but that particular story, and that's just crazy. So that type of stuff is just, to me, is where there was no reason for it and unjust as it can get. But you know what? I would like to say something real quick about another issue that I just found out about in California and six other western states that I think is totally off the wall. How about this, where the government now is allowed to come onto your property and put a GPS device on your vehicle without your knowledge so they can track you. Have you all heard about that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I just found out about that today, and I'm guessing maybe you guys already were way ahead of it because I'm all the way in Tennessee. I'm not paying attention. I am paying attention, but, I mean, I'm not in the guts of listening to that maybe as much as you all, but now it's been ruled that that's fine. What about that? I mean, that is insane. There's another step of Big Brother going in to your driveway.
Yep.
Well, that goes along with that thing that Art, you sent out today about the Fourth Amendment.
Yep.
You know, they go in the house, they take all the guns instead of the one gun they're looking for. You know, they use the blanket warrant.
Hey, believe me, I've already been there. I've already had that happen to me. I've already had the law in my house. They took every gun and everything I had. I've already been down that path. I've already had it happen. And it took me a large sum of money and a year of crap to get everything back. And believe me, it was nerve-wracking and difficult. And that was in Tennessee. But I'm saying I just can't comprehend how any court system can rule and that someone could come onto your property and in your driveway and stick a GPS device on your vehicle so they can track you without a warrant, without knowledge.
Well, you know, they're saying you have no expectancy of privacy.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, how can you say that? You came on my property, you snuck in, and you did it. If I had no expectancy of privacy, you'd do it right in front of me.
Exactly.
Know? So, yeah.
Well, that whole Facebook issue, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm getting ready to get off of Facebook for good, I think, because it's just like every time you turn a corner, something else comes up there. I like the social networking. You know, as an entertainer, I like to be able to use Facebook for the social networking and talk to people, especially, you know, my Facebook is 95% motorcyclists. But the point being that they just come out with a thing where here's this tracking thing. They don't even tell you that Facebook is now tracking you. Your IP address will tell you where you are when you just typed in and said, hey, I'm at the grocery store looking for some shrimp. You know, if you type that in on your Facebook, your IP address will tell you what grocery store and what city at what time you said that. And it gets posted if someone wants to see it. You have to literally go through all these privacy settings in your Facebook and turn that off now.
Yeah.
So what the hell is that about?
Well, is that any different than where they're trying to get the one school's trying to put tags on kids so they can track them?
Well, they're doing that in England already. They already do that in London. Almost every child now has been fingerprinted. You have to use your fingerprints now to check out a book in a library over there.
What?
Yeah. Can I tell you guys down in Mexico City, all the politicians have got chips in their body. Because there's so many kidnappings going on, the best way they can rescue them is via the chip. All politicians in Mexico City have got the computer chips in their bodies already. That's normal down there.
Wow.
Well, what is happening here is we're allowing it because of things like a Facebook, things like that. We're removing our expectation of privacy. Because they could say, arguably, hey, the guy's on Facebook, he's got a MySpace, he's got a website. He's not expected of any privacy. He's, you know, he logged in. You know, if you ever notice all these things that you have to go through to log in to do something online, they want to know your email address, they want to know where you live, what state you're in, what your zip code is, and, you know, that's all supposed to be for some sort of marketing. Yeah, well, that's just removing your expectation of privacy. And it's not because we have anything to hide. It's just because it'd be nice to go away for a while and not be seen either. And that's really becoming impossible.
Yeah.
Just because you think you turn your cell phone off doesn't mean it's off.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I was up in
there,
L.A.
You know.
Going to a little meeting with this member of a motorcycle organization. And before we left, we were going up in his car. I didn't want anybody to know he was going up there. He took his cell phone out and asked me if I would take my cell phone out and leave it for the trip. I said, what, are you crazy? He said, they can track us, Bill. I said, so who cares? He goes, I don't want them to know what I'm doing, Bill. I said, you're not doing anything. He said, that's not the point, Bill. He was that concerned about that they were going to follow us on the trip up to L.A. to solve about this problem. This is like paranoid.
It's not paranoid. If you look at, there's a reporter in London who said he wanted to go on the lam, and he notified all the top organizations saying, I'm going to go on the lam, and I want you to find me. Man, he tried to get away. He tried to escape because England has all this stuff on tracking right now. Every citizen, they know where you go, what you do, through your passport, obviously, but through your credit cards. Everything's logged into a system. They know where you are, your IP addresses, all your stuff. So this guy tried to escape.
That's how I found my hacker.
Yeah, he couldn't escape, man. And the reporter followed. He did a story on it and did all this stuff. Man, I'll find the link and send it to you guys, and you'd be surprised. At how, you know, it was all set up for him to try to do this, and he couldn't get away. He did everything he could to get away. He used phony names, but then eventually he had to run his credit card to get on the train and blah, blah, blah. You know, it was crazy. They knew everything about him. He canceled his Facebook account and everything, but because you leave a trace on there, they were able to, they created a phony Facebook account, went into his friends and said, started hitting his friends up with a phony account and tracking through different stuff. And it's just, if they want you, they got you. That's why we know Bin Laden is, they know where he is. But back to something else real quick, Bill, for you. Thanks for coming back, brother. It's been a long time, and we missed you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I don't wish what I had anybody at all. I want to wrap up something. The next weekend, I haven't told you this year, I might go down to Tijuana. The Solo Angels are having their 40th anniversary party. All the Mexican clubs will all be down there. I might want to be able to talk to them a little bit. I want to tell everybody, as I cross, first of all, no, let me back this up here. This is the greatest country in the world. Without a doubt, I love America. But as I cross into Mexico, the Mexican cop at the border raises his hand, hey, hey. Now, I spend the weekend in Tijuana. I come back to America, and they want to know where I've been, what I've done. I'm there for 5 or 10 minutes explaining to an American citizen, hey, I'm an American too. Why are you asking me all these damn questions? I go to Mexico, and they're going, hey.
How you doing? What's up?
Again, this is the greatest country in the world. I'm proud to be American. But, man, they're beating me up with this. What are you doing? What's going on, for God's sakes? Anybody been down to Mexico, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They're happy to have us in, but getting back into our own country. And since I'm out, I'm going to knock this out, too. Last time I crossed the border, this guy from Pakistan, an American citizen, he said, Border Patrol agent, stopped me, and he tried to talk to me. I could not understand because of the thick accent. I had to go request a supervisor. Supervisor came over, I explained who I was. He said, okay, this Pakistani guy said to me, maybe if your pipes weren't so loud, you could hear better. And I said, maybe if you understood English better, we wouldn't have this problem. The supervisor said, please go right ahead, sir. Coming back into my own country, I get this bullshit. Sorry for getting off track, guys.
We're breathing
no,
in,
man.
Children today are so complacent with this. If there's a generation coming up behind us, the next two generations are going to totally forget everything that what we're doing and everything who we are. All the stuff we're talking about is being lost because
mm-hmm.
they're breathing it in. They're breathing it in, man. Just like you know Hank McGrath says from Bikers Against Discrimination, breed them out. No, they're breathing it in, and that's what's going on there, Bill. And it's going to continue unless. I don't know how it can be stopped. All I know is as all of us age and become and are the rebels that we are, we have to keep fighting and hope for the best.
Yeah, but still our main power is get out and vote.
Yeah,
be heard
absolutely.
And vote.
Right. And to fire up the generation coming up behind us and get them involved.
It's going
to
take some re-education.
Philip, tell us how you and I got involved in this. You take it?
What with this?
No. You take it the beginning, helmet ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, how we got from that one ticket, this evolved. Did you tell them about that?
Yeah, it started...
I know they know it, but I think it's worth repeating.
Yeah, well, what happened was I got pulled over after riding with the same helmet for 17 years. And this guy I had seen every day for almost 5 years. How you doing? You're still taking that ride from San Diego. A week goes by, I see him again. You're not wearing the proper safety helmet. I'm not going to cite you for your exhaust. I said, you can't do that without a meter. But he cited me for the helmet. That's how this all came about. Then when I would talk to you, you go, ah, fuck it, just pay the ticket.
Pay the ticket. Bullshit. Let it go.
Mm-mm.
I said, no, I can't do that. And we're at $73,000 in counting.
Bill's program was that Bill, you know, again, I'm an American, American street. I've done nothing wrong. We got to make a stand. I repeated again, pay the ticket. And he said, no, Bill, I believe... We got to make a stand here. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, that's a pretty damn important statement Phil's making. So just two of us, two schmucks, as I say, we're trying to stand up in our town. If more people stand up in their town, it would be a better world all over, guys.
Well, actually, you got excited when I told you that my principals won't allow me to do that.
I didn't know who the guy was.
Well,
the guy
in
Chrome, so I can't tell you. I didn't know he had any principals.
That's a great piece. Remember what Philip just said. We got to take a stand about this. And just let me just reiterate back to something that came up a while ago. I know it's political, and I know there's situations involved. But about going and taking your show to the public, you got to make a stand. You got to find a way. Just like you found a way to say, I'm going to make a stand against that ticket, you got to make the same stand against taking your show into a public forum. Under the same pretenses, you got to find a way, because I believe with all my heart that it will be the bridge that you guys are looking for. I do believe
yeah.
it.
Well, see, here's the deal. On Thursdays now, they have the street fair. So the parking lot in the back is all the vendors park, and then they go to the street. So I went down to get the permit to get the parking lot, because the back patio overlooks that parking lot, so I'm waiting to get an answer on the permit. But once I get the answer on the permit, then we'll see which direction we're going to go. Because I have to have somewhere to park all those people.
Right. I understand. And, again, I have to emphasize, you and I have to go over all the ramifications, how this is going to affect everything, because it's not just you and I here. It's not you and I in the city. It's not you and I in the one club. It's both clubs. How it's going to go on. Is this going to cause this? Is this the one more proverbial straw that's going to break the camel?
Right.
We would like peace in California, so the idea is good. My concern is I still think I want to weigh the factors for, you know, first of all, you're a big boy. You do what you want.
Yeah.
You tell me what you feel about it. I tell you how I feel about it. By the way, if you don't know us, Philip and I don't agree on everything, but we try to listen to each other's opinions the best we can.
Well, both of you need to make this happen and bridge that gap all the way, man. And I really believe that you can, and I really respect both of you, and I respect your opinions because I'm obviously not there, but I respect everything about you and everything about your show. And, you know, I've grown to, you know, without a better word, to fall in love with what you guys are doing, man, because, you know, you're exactly what we need out there. And don't ever give up the fight, and don't ever give up looking for opportunities and, you know, options to make success.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I've already got confirmations on which clubs would show up, but that's not the issue. The issue is
right. It's not about that, man. If you let it become an issue about what club don't want to show up, then it's not about what you're doing. You're here for the biker rights, man. You're here for everybody, everything, every individual situation. The clubs need to mediate and work out their situation as best as they can on another level, but also use this as a platform to work it out. That's just my opinion, and I'll leave it at that. But
we appreciate your opinion, because Screwdriver and I, we're trying to get everyone's opinion. We need to figure what's the best thing to do. If this is not for the best platform, we're going to find another one. It's just there's so many things I can't just come on the air and talk about.
Right. This platform
so
is about,
like,
the rights,
you know,
about the rights of every biker in the world and every biker in this country. It's not about the rights of each club. It is. It is that, too. But each club situation has to work out their own political stuff, too, to get along. Because without everybody trying to cross certain boundaries, man, we're all just dead meat anyway. We're just going to kill ourselves. But that's, like I said, once again, my opinion.
Well, that's what, you know, I'm an independent bike rider. I'm always going to be an independent rider for the rest of my whole lifestyle. I want to know that I can be in Arizona. I want to know I can fly over to Paris. I want to go to Oslo with the boys. I want to go anywhere I want to go and not worry about, is this an okay bar for me to be in or not? With that being said, I've told these people I have friends in all the clubs, friends I've known for 20, 30 years. Correct, Phil. We've all got friends. We don't turn our back on our friends. And I know when you're in a club, you've got to make distinctions. This is who we're going to be with. Philip and I do not turn our backs on our friends, no matter what club they're in. Club politics does not affect us. So we're trying to find out how we can get the word out. That's correct. But, again, all these other X factors.
It's just like if we go to the Vietnam veteran, I'll wear a Vietnam vet shirt. If we go to the Booth Fighters one, I'll wear a Booth Fighters shirt. It's just showing respect.
I'm more than confident that you guys will figure it out because you guys are those guys. That's what you do. You have that.
You guys
magic.
Should be
That's
here after the show and hear us yelling and screaming at each other. That's the good show. You'll never hear me swear in the air.
Congratulations on your congratulations too. I didn't get to congratulate Beth.
Oh, thank you,
honey.
Thank you so much.
You know, I always want to know somebody famous.
Yeah.
That's as high as I'm going to ever get to be. I know Betsy. You know. Wow.
Thank you guys.
Are you going to retire? You're going to quit now? You're all down to bikers' rights, Betsy? You giving up?
No, hell no. There's more to fight for. This is only the tip of the iceberg.
And wouldn't it be nice if our fellow bikers would endorse us, support us, be somebody that we could say thanks for the help instead of being these roadblocks in our way, these little bumps in the
exactly.
road we got to deal
well,
with?
Well, part of the problem that I see here is because I'm an independent, so to speak, that because I'm not like-minded like certain organizations and willing to compromise.
Just a girl.
They want to stab me in the back. And it aggravates me, but, you know, to me, it just shows that they're small-minded. And then not only that, but then they take away their insurance from me because I may or may not think the same way, or I'm an independent, and how I think has nothing to do with my professional capabilities, and I don't understand that thinking. To me, that makes them look even smaller.
I want to emphasize that one point. There's a motorcycle, Christian motorcycle organization. The members and I get along. Their pastor, who rides a bike and all that, he's the president of the club. He is so insecure around me. He's always trying to upstage me. He's constantly doesn't want his people to do anything to do with us. I'm thinking of all people, this Christian organization should be saying, let's support each other. But this man's personal personality won't allow him because he wants to be center of attention everywhere he goes.
And
How petty.
He's the same guy who had the cross that was a sword on the back of his bike that called me and asked me if he could carry it.
Oh.
We don't need to say names and all that. But that was in about, no matter if you're street club, if you're a hardcore club, or Christian club, clean and sober, personalities come in.
Exactly.
And that's why those of us who know your concerns, Betsy, we applaud your endeavor. We applaud that you didn't give in to these people. Because no matter what organization you have, you're going to find some petty people.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always said this, if you do nothing, nobody will ever chastise you or criticize you. But if you do anything,
mm-hmm.
those people that do nothing, they're the ones that are going to turn on you right away.
Oh, yeah.
Well said.
Charlie, I just sent you and Betsy something on Facebook. Art, cool. You got Facebook, Art?
Oh, yeah. It's turned on right now. In fact, I just saw you and Betsy up there.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not even on.
No, it was like one of those, it was one of that area for try Facebook's friend finder. Philip
okay.
Yeah.
Hey, make sure you go into your Facebook and turn off that thing that tracks you. You got to go all the way through a bunch of privacy settings crap to get through that. Unless you want to be tracked.
You know what's really strange is when I was out in Sturgis, I tried to get on Facebook. It wouldn't even let me in.
Well,
it gave me all of these things. Do you know this person? Do you know that person? And half the people, because I guess I didn't do the settings so that other people couldn't post things on my account or whatever. There were people that posted pictures, and it says, okay, this is, and it gives you four choices. And I go, Jesus Christ, I have no idea who the hell that is. I know it's not a picture I posted, you know.
It's set up for, you know, it's just like you can't go to a grocery store without scanning your little club card because they're tracking what you're buying. When
yeah.
you fill out for that little card at a grocery store, you give them all the information of who you are and what you do. And they say, oh, that's so we can better serve you and we see what people
well,
buy
yes,
so we know
so
how to run
get
specials.
The discount.
No, they're tracking you. They know you went to that store. They know what you're doing. They know what you're buying. They know everything about your habits. They do it as a psychological profile.
Yeah.
I hate to butt in, but I have to go. I got some stuff going at the house. I've got the computer on. I'm listening wide open, and I got a couple of issues here I got to address. I really thank you for having me on, Bill and Phil, and it's great to have you back, Bill. Nice to talk to you, Art and Betsy, and I
thank
just got
you,
to roll.
Honey.
Yep.
He's a nice guy, you know.
You guys got to, I got to grow, man. But I appreciate everything you're doing. I love everybody, and I'm still listening. I just got to attend to some other business pretty shortly.
We're gonna take a
potty break right now, so I'm gonna play a song.
Brother.
I don't like your songs. You're not gonna have my. I don't like your songs.
Let's be in touch, man. Let's be in touch. I'll catch y'all later.
All right.
See you. Bye.
I kind of might head out as well because I'm a little white.
Listen, you got your passport. Are you okay for that party in Tijuana this weekend, Betsy?
I wish I could make it. I've got that funeral. Otherwise, I'd try and get my butt there.
Actually,
I'd like to get you down to Tijuana, little girl.
It's next weekend. Saturday night, right?
Yeah,
Saturday night.
Tijuana, Saturday night.
Well, I tell you what. When I go out to visit my sister, who's down in Southern Cal,
mm-hmm.
I'll let you know
she's
I'm coming,
right?
And we'll go down to Tijuana. I haven't been
there.
You got
to go when all the Mexican clubs are together for one long weekend. That's when anything goes. And we do stuff in Mexico I could never.
You would never do here, right?
We'll try to coordinate on it.
Okay.
What's the music? I can sing for a while.
No, I'm going to play it.
Betsy, do you want to hear me sing?
Oh, I'd love to hear you sing, honey.
You going to take off or you going to hang out for a song?
She's tired.
You know what? I'm going to say goodnight as well. I told you earlier today I didn't think I'd be on all night. It's just been slamming, and I need my beauty sleep, every bit I can get of it.
Well, have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Thank you guys so much for everything, and for thanking me and acknowledging me, and thank you for all you do, and welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. I said, you're a hero. Of course, the only one I got to compare you to is Philip, so you're so far above him, you know, girl.
All that love.
Oh.
Musica.
Mutual Admiration Society. I love it.
All right.
I'll probably talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right,
girl.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Betsy.
You going to hang out, Art?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay.
Desert air feels good on.
you know, that's pretty good. I like Charlie's stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know if I mentioned to you that I called Charlie last week.
Right.
Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I said about maybe collaborating on his next album because I've got some music out myself. He said for me to send him a demo, and I send it. And now I think he's having a problem with his cell phone or something because I keep calling and I can't get through.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about, but, you know, what? What's so funny? What's him?
Nothing.
No one appreciates me. No one appreciates me. Art, are you still out there, brother? We lost Art?
Hey, I'm here, guys.
Oh, good. Okay, okay.
I just muted the speakers. You didn't have to listen to me sing along.
Oh, and did you hear what I said about Mike cutting the record with Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's
pretty
good.
We're looking at it, but I sent him a copy of my demo, and since I sent him a copy, he must be having a problem with his phone, I was saying, because I keep calling him, and I can't get through, so I don't know what that problem's about, you know. I'm
well,
sure
maybe
when he heard my demo, he'd want to do a record with me right away.
Yeah, well, what you need to do is send him some pictures of you with your shirt off. That'll do it.
So, all right, what's new this weekend? What you going to do next weekend? You going anywhere special or what?
Well, Saturday I'm leaving, so next week I won't be here. I'm going to be out on Lake Mead fishing.
Oh, good deal. We got Vegas coming up next month, don't we? Yeah, Vegas is coming up.
Vegas
is
coming up.
Then I'll be at Palm Springs. We'll be going down that right after.
Yeah, and then well, we got the solo thing this weekend.
That Saturday night, all the clubs are going to be across the border. We'll be on Hidalgo Street, crossing the Highlight Building. So, if you and I get lost, it shouldn't be too hard to find us in the crowd, though. You know? Okay.
Is that old building still there?
The Highlight Building? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dang, it's been there forever.
Yeah. Do you ever go in and watch that?
Many, many years ago. It must have been 30, 35 years ago.
That's a fast-moving game, isn't it?
Yeah, you can get hurt doing that.
There are two, you're right, brother. Yeah, no, I don't know. So, you know, it's not going up, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think we're gonna cut it short.
Good
Bill
enough.
Bill and I are going to yell and scream at each other right now.
We're still working some issues out here.
All righty.
He's going to take all his clothes off, and I don't know what the hell that's all about. So I got to, you know, trying to throw a towel on him or something. But he says the true spirit has to come out. And clothes, they hinder him. I don't know what bullshit story this is, but... So we're sitting there, two of us, one of us naked, and the other one saying, what the hell's going on?
Okay, don't drop the soap, Bill.
All right, man.
Good advice, brother.
Yeah.
All right. Call up tonight.
You take care. Have a safe trip.
All right, you guys, too. Have a good week.
All right,
enjoy your vacation, brother.
All right, thank you.